Hello and welcome back to Commodity Conversations by the team at Mercado, the podcast where we keep you up to date with the latest trends, drivers and moves in livestock, grain and oilseed and fibre markets. My name is Olivia Agar. Thanks for listening into episode 265. We have an exciting show for you today as we're joined by Matt Hadrill, Senior Agricultural Analyst from Beef and Lamb New Zealand, who will be sharing insights into their recently released mid-season update report. We'll be talking everything from the New Zealand livestock market to challenges in Chinese demand. We'll also be taking a closer look at the decline in the New Zealand flock, what's driving it, and what we can expect in terms of sheep meat supply this year. Before we bring in Matt, here are a few highlights from the markets this week. World wheat prices have fallen back to 3.5-year lows, or 14% drop since the start of 2024. With continued pressure from Russia as it ramps up its export program. This could be an opportunity for buyers to take advantage of the lower prices. However, it's important to note that recent cancellations or postponements of wheat purchases by China, including at least 1 million metric tons of Australian wheat, could weigh on the wheat market in the short term. Falling prices will eventually flush out buyers though. The lamb market continues to slide, but forward prices released for late autumn and winter should provide optimism that there is plenty of upside once finished lamb supply starts to tighten up again. Alrighty, let's get into the episode now with Matt Hadrill.
Welcome, Matt, to Commodity Conversations.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Beef and Lamb New Zealand have just released your mid-season update, which has some great insights into what's happening over the ditch on farm, as well as in the key markets that you're operating in. So really looking forward to getting into some of that detail today. But what we've seen here locally, you know, the Australian livestock market has really been through an extremely volatile couple of months. How's the New Zealand market performed and, you know, what's the current situation for livestock producers over there?
Yeah, so much like Australia, we definitely go through some volatile parts too. But first of all, just a quick overview. New Zealand is about 9,100 commercial farmers, about 25 million sheep, 3.8 million beef cattle, and about 6.1 million dairy cattle. But it's more the dairy business producing a lot of milk. We export around about 90% of our beef and veal, 95% of our sheep meat. So we are heavily dependent on exports, and whatever happens around the world, we do really feel it all the way to the farm gate. But the past few years have been extremely volatile. 2 years ago, we had an extremely record season with record profits, with record prices as well, mainly driving that. But since then, we have seen the average farm profit plummet. For example, from our report, we're saying that for the average farm, it's going to decrease 54% this year. And that is at the lowest level it has been in several decades. And that's mainly due to the higher input costs pertaining to mainly interest rates and fertilizer, with interest rates being the biggest one, because a whole lot of our farmers, they use a lot of borrowed money to because they don't have constant cash flow. Like, for example, waiting to sell lambs at a later date to put weight on. So you have less of a cash flow and you need to borrow more. So that's the gist of it at the moment.
Yeah, and you know, we're facing a lot of those same pressures too. But you mentioned there about the export dominance of the New Zealand industry. So what are some of the key markets? You know, what's the sort of breakup between your customer base across sheep and beef?
So for sheep, so over the past couple of years, China has been our biggest customer for both sheep and beef. At the moment, lamb takes around about 41% of our lamb exports. However, last season that was 51%, and it followed that for a good 7 or so years, around about half of our exports of lamb went to China. This year, however, they are faltering a little bit, and we got to plug that difference elsewhere. So lamb, we've got the UK in second, the US in third, and all the EU 27 countries. But if you add them all up, they are effectively our second biggest customer. Europe. For beef, it at the moment is a solid split of 40%, just under 40% of beef going to China. Then America is the other 40%. The balance is just made up of Japan, Korea, and things like that. So we're heavily dependent on what's going on in China, and also US has tend to plug that difference in beef at the moment.
Yeah, which is a struggle in times like now where we're seeing, economic backdrop being really poor in some of those key countries. And a lot of the focus in your report is on China, given the major reliance as a sheep meat buyer, and the sluggish demand there. So what are some of the challenges you've seen in the Chinese market and looking forward as well?
So at the same time as being our biggest customer, they unfortunately have a knack of not being that transparent in their data. So a lot of things we have to backwards calculate, or whatever tidbits that we're able to get either from the government over there or from sources from the ground is few and far between. But what we've come to understand about the Chinese economy is that the property market fiasco that has been going on for the better part of 4 years is really coming to its precipice at the moment. Chinese citizens have paid for properties that will never be built. Prices are decreasing, and that negative wealth effect that they're feeling over there is terrible for consumer sentiment, making people go out and buy less, especially spending more spending money at restaurants. So we think that's a really big factor. Also, foreign investment is decreasing. We're seeing a lot of those big US companies seem to be leaving. Worldwide demand of what China produces is now decreasing. It has been since the cost of living crisis for the past couple of years. Good examples of that are the EVs that they produce. Europe is demanding less of what they sell. Also, after the pandemic, we thought there would be a bit of revenge spending going on because household savings rates are incredibly high, but they just never came out. And we think a part of that is that the youth unemployment is incredibly high as well. So people that are coming out of university, fresh graduates, cannot find jobs because the and so because of that, the consumption is just not there in the Chinese economy.
That's a really interesting point about the youth unemployment being a factor in there as well. Not something I'd thought of, that's for sure. But what about the other one being the pig herd in China? Have you got any insight into how that's playing out in terms of demand for sheep meat?
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, we're talking 7, 8 years ago, they had a s serious problem with African swine fever that decimated their local pork production there. And beef and sheep meat plugged the difference for that. And now, since then, they've seemed to have gone over that. They've seemed to manage it well. And we've actually seen pork production come back. And at the time, at the time currently, with the economy not doing so great, I think a lot of consumers are quite price sensitive, and so they're going back to the cheaper product, and that seems to be pork at the moment, because at the same time as getting over the infections that they had with ASF, they've ramped up production at the same time. It's kind of oversupplied the market. So I think consumers over there are a little bit more familiar with pork because the consumption of pork is much, much higher compared to sheep meat and beef meat. So that is definitely a reason for being less demand for sheep meat.
Yeah, we do know that, it is a price sensitive purchase as well when consumers are choosing to purchase red meat. So we've spoken there about some of the challenges, Matt, but what are some of the opportunities in their outlook that you're seeing?
Well, some of the few rosy things there in the outlook is that we are a little bit more favorable on beef, and that is driven by US demand. It is looking solid. The hemisphere seem to be in a flip at the moment of what their capabilities of beef supply at present, because Australia and New Zealand are producing a lot of beef. Well, Australia much more, but New Zealand is also doing not too bad as well. The US national herd has decreased by 10% since 2020. And if you look at how much they produce and how much they also consume, that is a lot. I saw a stat the other day that they are almost importing about 10% of what we produce in New Zealand per week. So they are demanding a lot. And the USDA over there has explicitly said that they are expecting in the medium term, so for 3 to 4 years, that the US is going to import a lot more beef. Even though we got price decreases in the report, the prices are still holding up about 2% above the 5-year average. So we're quite bullish on beef, pun intended.
Which is, not just good for direct demand for beef from both Australia and New Zealand, but also in terms of the gap, the decline in US production leaves the rest of the world as well. So that, yeah, where there should be lots of opportunities that come from that. The last point I wanted to grab you on, Matt, is the New Zealand flock is a lot of interest to Australian farmers, and we've seen, the number of breeding ewes has been in constant decline since about 2007. I think about 11.5 million ewes have exited the system over the last couple of decades. So what are some of the key drivers behind that decline, and are you expecting it to continue?
Yeah, so the national flock in New Zealand is quite an interesting one. It has been declining, I think, over the past decade on average about 0.5%, but that is a material difference on average. Like anything, it's quite difficult for us to figure out. It's something that has been slowly declining, but there are a couple of big pointers for us. First of all, is that there's urban sprawl that's been happening for years and years and years. Cities have been getting better, bigger, and more lifestyle blocks have been popping up, and towns have been spreading more out. And so farmland has to substitute that. Also, at the same time, we've since the early 2000s to now, we've seen a dairy farmland explosion. Dairying has, increased quite markedly during that time, and they're going to take away that good farmland that would be for sheep and beef farmers. Another one is that there just has been a trend of the product or the stock unit mix of sheep to beef farming, being that the beef proportion of that has just gotten bigger over the years. I think that's just due to there's better earnings in it, and also quite easier to manage compared to sheep. Also, another big one, it's been quite a recent thing, so we don't have the most solid modeling around it just yet, is that farmland has been planted into carbon farming. So planting trees in order to claim the carbon credits on it and just shutting the gate and not farming any animals on it. And so that's a big thing that we've been lobbying against, because we're selling less lamb, so therefore less export receipts, so therefore less demand for our New Zealand dollar. But to the individual, it can seem, the individual farmer, it could seem, especially with profits decreasing a lot recently, it could seem, quite attractive to do, just to plant trees, shut the gate, and forget about it. So.
And what do you expect in terms of sheep meat supply this year? Is that sort of declining flock trend continuing, Matt?
Sheep meat supply this year has actually been quite solid compared to last year. Last spring we had quite a solid lamb crop, so a lot more lambs have been born as a result of better weather conditions. So this year is looking pretty solid compared to last year. Another example of this, for the 5 months to February, is because we work to a September year, lamb exports have been up 10% compared to last year. So we're looking okay in the lamb department. However, for mutton, it has started off extremely high because the average price for a mutton animal has declined at the start of the season. So we're talking last October, September. They're in decline mode. And what we think that farmers were doing were just like, these prices aren't going to get better, so we're going to kill a lot of them. So we've seen a lot of these older animals, older sheep animals come forward, but now they've tapered off a bit. And so we're keeping an eye on how supply is going to be for mutton this year. But at the same time, price is so low, it's everyone's just kind of forgotten about it a little bit.
Definitely some similar trends happening over here, Matt, in terms of mutton prices. Recovered a bit in the last couple of months, but still well and truly down on the sort of averages that we've seen over the last couple of years. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We've really enjoyed, you know, hearing the insights that you've put together in your latest mid-season update. So thanks again, and we'd love to have you back another time.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.